Father, we do thank you for your goodness and for your power. Lord, we thank you for your wisdom. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us your word. All that we need for life and godliness is contained in your word. Lord, it comes through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that as we live our lives, that we would wisely and with great discernment use your word to, Lord, to know what is truth and to be able to apply that truth to our lives, to make wise decisions, especially in this day in which we live, and around those who do not believe. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Read an article this week entitled, Greening for God. Greening for God. The subtitle, Evangelicals Learn to Love Earth Day. I thought, oh, you gotta be kidding. I'm gonna read you some of this. Some of this I'm gonna read some articles to you today. But it says, for some churches, the environmental movement is not only a bad idea, it's a false religion. Quote, environmentalism is nothing more than a pagan worship system, Pastor Jack Hibbs told his congregation at a recent Wednesday night service at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. The Bible clearly instructs humans to, quote, use the environment, not worship it, he insisted, pacing around the pulpit behind a sign advertising the church's worldview series. But while Hibbs and other conservative church leaders continue to demonize a movement they call the Green Dragon, a growing number of evangelical leaders have been promoting mainstream environmental causes, even linking such concerns to biblical commandments. In 2006, this is a while back, in 2006, Christian broadcaster Pat Robertson, hey, if Pat said it, I believe it, right? Anyway, Christian broadcaster Pat Robertson went so far as to declare himself a convert on the issue of global warming. I wonder how much of a kickback he got from Al Gore. Anyway, here he was, this outspoken person who claims to be an evangelical Christian saying he believes now in global warming. But within the evangelical community, the unmistakable tipping point may be at Washington's National Cathedral right now, this weekend, where some of the nation's most prominent evangelical seminaries will sign an agreement with a group called the Seminary Stewardship Alliance. And the purpose of the covenant is to educate, listen to this, to educate future church leaders about environmental initiatives or creation care in evangelical parlance. The Earth Day Agreement will ask the seminaries to commit to 10 specific actions, including modeling sustainable practices in all areas such as our facilities, hospitality, housing, missions, communications, recruitment, travel, and use of resources. If the nation's conservative evangelical seminaries are preparing pastors who will promote environmental causes, what will happen to anti-environmentalist churches like Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills? Quote, the characterization of environmentalism is as paganism and as an alternative to the Christian belief system is in sharp decline, says Lisa Weaver Swartz, author of This Is My Father's World, not the song, An American Evangelical Ambivalence Toward Climate Change. Quote, instead of a knee-jerk reaction against anything connected to the environmental movement, what I see now is a reframing of environmental issues into existing evangelical frameworks. They prefer the language like creation care and stewardship. Mainline Protestant groups have embraced environmental causes for years. It's taken longer to convince evangelical leaders that the Bible encourages direct action to protect the environment. But now that conservative seminaries are starting to cast themselves as pro-environment, experts see a greener future for Christians of all stripes. One of the covenant's signatories, Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California, which has long been a very liberal, quote, Christian institution. I won't even call it Christian anymore, but it started out 100 years ago, whatever. Okay, but it is completely liberal. But Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California, is typical in describing itself as an evangelical community, quote, shaped by deep loyalty to the Scriptures as our infallible guide to questions of faith and practice. That sounds good. It is a very exciting moment, says Laurel Kearns, Associate Professor of Sociology, Religion, and Environmental Studies at Drew University. In 2007, Kearns co-founded the Green Seminary Initiative, which brought many of the nation's mainline Protestant seminaries into an agreement to incorporate environmental awareness into theological education. Kearns believes the Seminary Stewardship Alliance and the Green Seminary Initiative together represent a united front among America's church leaders. To have two organizations that are reaching across the spectrum of theological education will make such a difference, Kern says. The Seminary Stewardship Alliance was launched by Blessed Earth, a Christian nonprofit founded in 2008. Rather than making their case through numbers and charts, listen to this. The Blessed Earth founders chose a uniquely evangelical approach focusing on biblical narratives and stories of personal renewal from their own lives. Quote, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is replete with demonstrations of God loving his creation, revealing himself through nature, and calling us to be good stewards of the earth, says Matthew Sleeth, who established Blessed Earth with his wife Nancy. If we love the Creator, we should care for his creation. As if that's what he meant. Sleeth is a former emergency room doctor who became a Christian and an environmentalist after reading Gideon's Bible in his hospital's waiting room. He was shocked to discover how much the Bible seemed to emphasize humankind's responsibility to care for the earth. Did he miss everything else in the Bible? After Sleeth's conversion experience, he and his family moved to a small townhouse, reduced their energy usage by more than two-thirds, and slashed their garbage output by 90%. How many kids do you think he has? Maybe. it doesn't say. In addition to running Blessed Earth, the Sleeths also write books encouraging other Christians to serve God by downsizing their lives and protecting nature. And here I sit with nine kids. What an environmentalist jerk I am. Anyway, evangelical Christians are often portrayed as being against everything, Sleeth says. It's great to tell the story of what we are for. It may take years before Christianity's anti-environmentalist streak entirely disappears. Among older evangelicals, there is still a lingering suspicion towards scientists in general and mainstream environmentalists in particular. In the meantime, evangelicals are creating their own distinctive way of caring for the planet, a brand that may purposefully avoid the term environmentalism, says John Nagel, a Notre Dame law professor who studies environmental views within Christian circles. He says, the general trend that I have seen is that younger evangelicals are much quicker to express environmental concerns than the previous generations. For one anecdote, I taught a class on endangered insects to my daughter Laura's third grade class at a small Christian school a few years ago, and all of the kids were quick to say that God even cares about bugs. Isn't that sweet? I tell you, every bug around my house is endangered because I carry a fly swatter. Anyway, so now, I won't read this entire article, but here's another one. Here's another guy. He's writing and talking about biblical environmentalism. He says, these are some preliminary thoughts on biblical environmentalism. They come from a book outline I developed a couple years ago, still in skeletal form. He's writing this book. He says, I offer them here to stimulate discussion. Listen to the way this Christian writer starts. Life context. He says, present rates of human impact on the environment are unsustainable. That simply means that we are using resources, fresh water, tillable land, fish, rainforest, faster than they can be replenished. Pollution, global warming, destruction of habitats, extinctions, desertification. God's creation is being degraded and destroyed at an alarming rate, threatening not only the environment itself, but the future of humanity. At bottom, this unsustainable consumption of natural resources is fueled by greed. A relentless demand for products and services, for the most part, those who consume the most natural resources give little thought to the impact their appetites have on the planet, either short or long term. And on and on and on. So, it's hard for me to read that stuff without getting nauseated. So what does the Bible say about it? I mean, folks, if you're in the workplace, you probably talk to people who recycle and it's going to save the earth with their blue trash cans and, you know, they're driving the Prius. Sorry, Paul, it's okay if you drive a Prius. Anyway, you know, they're going to do all these things and they're going to save the earth because, honestly, look what mankind is doing to the earth. We're destroying it. I mean, we're running out of tillable land. Anybody that believes that has never flown in an airplane across the United States. That is absolutely ridiculous. Now, what does the Bible say about the environment? Let me ask you, number one, are humans going to destroy the earth? By the way, that guy's first paragraph that I just read you about this unsustainable, we're using all these resources faster than we can replace them. You know what that is? That right there is propaganda, and he swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. You can't turn on any TV channel or read any secular magazine without reading that same thing. You know what? That is the biggest lie. That is not true. It's not even got good science behind it. But if they can get you to swallow that premise, then you can go along with everything else. I reject that premise because it's a lie. We are not consuming our natural resources faster than they are being replaced. That is garbage. Tillable land? Why do you think our government pays farmers not to plant crops? It's to keep the price of bread high. Listen, folks, we could feed the world with our country's natural resources and do so for a long time. But no, it's called the land banks. The government pays farmers not to farm their land, and they'll pay them more than the farmer would have made had he planted crops and worked the field, and that's why those fields sit fallow and blank with nothing growing but weeds. Now, what does the Bible have to say about the environment? Let me ask you, will humans destroy the planet? Yes or no? Is man going to destroy the planet? How does the world end? It's there in Revelation. The Christians refuse to go green and they burn up the planet with their greed and their, everybody dies because there's not enough farmland. And the toxins from everybody's plastic water bottles in the landfills, and the world just, humans disappear. No, how does the world end? What does the Bible say? God's going to destroy the earth. He's going to destroy it with fire, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. So, folks, number one, get it out of your mind that humans are going to destroy the earth. And by the way, these people that have been, are making this argument are saying that the earth is billions and billions of years old, but all of a sudden now, it's going to be destroyed. I mean, very shortly. What about environmentalism? Now, am I saying that we should just trash the earth? No, it's not what I'm saying. And obviously, we're to be stewards of what God has given to us. But environmentalism as a worldview is not based in the scripture. It is as pagan as the day is long. And the great problem here with what's going on is that Christians are finally doing what? They're going to accommodate. They're going to buy in. And now they're going to be training seminaries are going to be training pastors to go out there and fill their people's heads with garbage, with their philosophy. How do you think the world has gotten homosexuality to be not just accepted but defended? hey, I mean, we've got, quote, Christian churches now that are just, you know, tolerating it. See, you know, back several months ago, we started this thing on how, as a Christian, do you maintain your standard? How do you stand your ground in the world when the worldview around you is just corrupt and insidious and deceitful? How do you hold your ground? How do you keep from being sucked into this? How do you keep from being sucked into this environmentalism religion? It's what it is. It's earth worship, folks. It's what it is. I mean, what did Christians do about evolution? Oh, no, there's scientific proof for evolution? Well, we got to accommodate for the fossils. What do we do? And so what did the Christians do? Okay, well, you know, we still believe God created, but, you know, maybe God used long periods of time. Maybe each of those 7 days wasn't really a 24-hour period. Maybe God used seven periods of billions of years. See, I mean, you got to accommodate for the science. I mean, it says. I mean, look at the fossils. You know how long it takes to make a fossil? Billions of years. And so, what does Christianity do? They accommodate. They're doing the same thing with environmentalism. They're doing the same thing with homosexuals and that whole agenda of the sodomites. And what you're seeing is the world and the church doing this and really becoming indiscernible. There's no difference. Now, and capitalism. Oh, it is the enemy of the day. Capitalism. It is absolute greed. Capitalism is so bad. I mean, we're living in a day when, hey, if you work hard and you succeed, you are evil. You are evil. You are characterized by greed, and large corporations are bad. Why are they so bad? Because they've got all the money and I don't. That was the whole point of the Occupy Wall Street movement. All those people out there screaming and yelling and griping about the what they called the 1%. Actually, they were less than the 1%. Less than 1%. But what were they doing? They were flaunting their sloth. That's what they were doing. You know, the Bible says, Proverbs chapter 12. You see, large corporations and wealthy people are evil because the average guy is slothful and envious. Now, there's the truth of the matter. You know, we kept driving back home each night or each week from our orchestra practice, and we'd drive past a speedway and a stone or something like that, and had the little Occupy Tucson group out there. And we'd laugh every time we went by, and I explained to the boys what they were doing, and finally they were gone. I don't know if they accomplished anything, but they were there for a while. Proverbs chapter 12. In verse 24, it says, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule." They're going to be in charge. Now, it's not talking about Christians. This is a proverb. This is a general principle that applies across life. Those who are diligent are the ones in charge. They will bear rule. It says, "But the slothful shall be under tribute." What is tribute? Heavy taxes, okay? The slothful will be under tribute. They're going to pay. Proverbs 12, verse 27. Now look at this. This is interesting. "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious." Now, that's an interesting verse, because if you go back and you look at, you know, have there been environmental abuses? Well, certainly. Back in the 1800s, people come across on the trains and they'd lean out the window of the train and see a herd of buffalo and they'd just start shooting for fun as they'd go. And the Indians were all upset about that because they lived off the buffalo and here were these white men coming out and just wasting these resources. Now, that's obviously, that's what this verse is talking about. "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious." Why? because it represents his blood, sweat, and tears. It's what he's trading his life for, his energy for. Now, Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24 and verse 30 says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, he had gone green. He was no longer using pesticides. I'm just joking here. It says, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. The stone wall thereof was broken down. And I saw and considered well, looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, a little camping out at Wall Street for 6 months. A little laziness. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. And don't turn around and gripe at the wealthy capitalist and say he is evil. Now, capitalism. Yes, are there dangers of capitalism? Obviously, humans are humans. We're all sinful. Greed. Sure, there's greed. There's sloth. But you know what? There's also diligence. You know, Job in the Old Testament, if he were alive today, oh, he would completely be a target for the environmentalists. The guy was an environmentalist. I mean, he was a capitalist pig. Do you see all the animals he had? Consider Job's carbon footprint. I mean, please. The guy was just abusing and using up all the resources. Abraham and Lot, look at them. They even had to split up. They were using so much pasture land. And it wasn't sustainable, was it? You know? What does the Bible have to say about the environment? Well, you know, God created the world. He did. Genesis chapter 1. And then what did God give man? God placed man in this Garden of Eden, and he said to do what? Take dominion. Take dominion. Okay? Control it. Use the creation for your advantage. Okay? After the curse, of course, the ground was cursed. It grows thorns. I mean, Arizona, full of thorns. What were the saguaros like before the curse? You know, the teddy bear troia, they were probably really soft, right? No, anyway. But here it was. All these thorns grew, and what does man have to do? Man has to earn his bread, the Bible says, by the sweat of his brow. He's got to work. Everything that God does is good. Now, there's a author here that uses all these scriptures to try to prove his point that environmentalism is the way to go. And the scriptures he uses, well, you know, Genesis, God creates the world. God gives humanity dominion over the planet, just as Genesis 1:28. Creation was subject to the frustration at the fall of man, has been groaning ever since. That's Romans 8, 18 through 21. Even after the fall, everything that God created is good, 1 Timothy 4:4. But God takes pleasure in his creation, and he actively sustains it, Psalm 104. Now, who sustains the world? God does. Who brings rain? And harvest time? Winter, spring, summer, fall? God does. Did you know that God says that the seasons will not ever cease from the earth as long as the earth is here? God is the one who brings the rain. God is the one who sustains his creation. You think you're going to do a better job than God protecting the earth? Does God need you to protect his earth? See, the problem is, in Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1 and verse 25, it speaks about that this whole particular passage in Romans talks about those who have rejected the truth of God. They've rejected God. They put God to the test. They found that he was not to their liking, and so therefore God gave them minds. The Bible says God has given them reprobate minds, or minds that cannot function reasonably as God intended, as God created the mind to work. God has given them minds that will not come to the knowledge of the truth. They're reprobate. And let me tell you, all this environmentalism stuff is rooted, and it is coming from these people. It's not coming from the scriptures. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who does not immerse himself in what? The counsel of the ungodly. Why? Because the ungodly are men with minds who do not that do not function correctly. Are they intelligent? Sure, they're brilliant. But that doesn't mean they're God-honoring, and it doesn't mean that their premises are even correct. But they sound so smart. That doesn't matter. God has given them up to a reprobate mind. It says they have changed the truth of God into a lie. This is what they're doing here. They're using Scripture, trying to twist Scripture to pull in Christian, not like use the term, Christian suckers. Christians who do not understand the Scripture and the place of God's creation. And they're trying to pull them in to do what? What's environmentalism all about? You know what it is, folks? It's about control. It is about control. What did we almost lose on January 1st of this year? Do you remember? We almost lost something. And every one of you has it in your homes. Thank you. We just about lost the incandescent light bulb in January. Remember? I mean, that is the biggest waste of energy. So they're going to get rid of incandescent light bulbs. You've got to use those ice cream cone ones. And now, and the new ones coming out. I mean, and you saw Home Depot and Lowe's, they were stocking their shelves full of these things. I mean, Costco too. And some of these light bulbs with the LEDs and blah, blah, 30-some bucks. You know how many incandescent bulbs I can burn through for 30-some bucks? And here it was. You're going to save the planet by... And you know what? I guarantee you there were congressmen and senators who had their stakes and their money in these corporations. That's the way these things work. And thank the Lord, it didn't pass. And some people, I'm sure, have their basements filled with stockpiles of light bulbs because people were buying them off the shelves. But what was it? Control. We're going to make you do this. We're going to control the car you drive. We're going to make you downsize. Remember the SUV thing? Remember that SUV acronym that came out? I mean, it was really to stigmatize those who drove larger vehicles that used too much gas. I mean, and of course, Al Gore flying his plane around to all these different conventions to talk about how you've got to reduce your carbon footprint as he, you know, flies in his jet. The hypocrisy of it all. But look at all of this is what I'm saying. All of this is coming from a pagan mindset, a mindset that has changed the truth of God into a lie and is worshiping and serving the creation or the creature more than the creator. You see, the problem with America is not capitalism. The problem with America is not environmental destruction. The problem with America is that men have departed from God. Now, are there abuses in the environment? Well, certainly there are. And who wants to have some garbage trickling down through their water system? But you know what? Worshipping the earth, worshipping the creation, is exactly what characterizes those who have rejected God. And for evangelical Christians to wrap their arms around them, to hold hands with them in some endeavor to, quote, save the environment, is absolutely intolerable. You know, all of the creation praises God. It's made for his glory. God cares, provides for his creation. Man is more important than the animals. But how many times have projects been sidelined or this has been canceled because of, well, we've got a little owl out here. And we think we saw one time, and so, oh, it's endangered. What about these, you know, like this guy said, these endangered insects that humanity is just going to destroy? I mean, can you imagine what our earth would be like if we lost the cockroach? It'd be terrible. I mean, life as we know it would cease to exist. Okay. What's the focus on? Hey, listen. When you reject truth, you'll swallow anything. And that's exactly what Scripture says. God says, you've refused to believe me, you've refused to believe my truth, and therefore I will choose your delusion. And you'll believe anything. So, what should the Christian do? Hey, he should work hard. He should be diligent. Shouldn't be slothful. He should be considerate of others. But if he swallows this whole philosophy that he's going to save the earth, or if he swallows the whole philosophy that man is going to destroy the earth, then he's believed the lie. Now, we're running out of time, and I don't have time to go through more of this, but the idea that these people want to use Christian catchwords like stewardship. Listen, I have no problem with being a good steward of your property, being a good steward of the natural resources that God has given to us. And you know what? We should be careful. If we were all allowed to hunt like we wanted to, there probably wouldn't be any elk left in Arizona. You know, there's a lot of people, and there's more people than elk. And we could, you know, and of course, what has our government done? They've put game management, fish management, to kind of manage these resources so they're not all depleted. I think that's wise. But you know what? The idea that, you know, this whole idea of environmentalism, this whole thing about going green and saving the planet is coming from pagan, earth-worshipping religion. It's not of God. It's not approved by God. And it's not coming from a believer. That ought to make any believer's red flags go up right there. Hey, if its main proponents are heathens, godless, God-hating heathens, then it's probably not something we should swallow or believe or follow. There may be something wrong with it. But I'm standing here to tell you this. I'm standing here to say this because if I want to be anything, I want to be at least a wrench in the works. Because what the world is going to do is they're just going to keep harping this. They're going to keep harping this till you finally, I say you, I'm speaking about Christians in general, they finally just say, give in. Okay, fine, whatever. I don't care anymore. It's the same thing with homosexual agenda. It's that you keep harping on it, and finally people just become a little numb to it. And then there it is. And watch out for any of these pastors that are trained in these seminaries that want to sit there and teach you about environmentalism. Stay away from it. Be responsible. Let's take care of what God has entrusted to us. We don't need to abuse it. We need to be clean. We shouldn't be slothful. You can tell the difference between a slothful person's house and a diligent person's house. Just like the guy's vineyard. One guy's covered with weeds and nettles and thorns. The other guy, hey, he's got a prosperous vineyard. And he might actually be expanding next year. Capitalist pig. Any questions? Wander off into what?
Myths.
Yeah. Yeah, the global warming myth, yeah. Oh, man, let me tell you. It's hard not to accept that when you live in Tucson. You think it's not global warming, it's global cooking. You know, but it's actually pretty local, so. Anyway, any other questions or comments? Anybody else have anything they want to add or? Tim.
Those are so concerned about the consumption of the world.
course not. That's the hypocrisy of it all. And the interesting thing is, the people who are the biggest proponents of Earth Day is absolutely preposterous. They don't care about the Earth. They don't care about God's creation. Not one bit. It's an agenda, and it's an agenda to control. Al Gore and all of his inconvenient lying and all that kind of stuff, all that was is to control the EPA. These agencies are designed to come in and to regulate and to control and to suppress. I mean, look at Russia. That's where the people live. It's just the way it is. And that is the sinful man's tendency, to control, suppress, and to repress the people. Paul. Well, yeah, and so, I mean, you talk about the United Nations and their whole agenda to get the countries to make their birth rate go down, and it's absolutely astonishing that, you know, what they've actually accomplished. And looking at these nations where they cannot recover because their birth rate has been so low for so long. You look at China; they're running out of women to marry. Because they've been getting rid of their girls. One child policy, too. And usually they kill the girls or dump them off somewhere. Chinese girls are the easiest to adopt because the Chinese want boys. Since they can only have one, they want a boy. You look at these countries. And you know who's filling in the void? You know who's filling in the void in these countries? Who is it?
Muslims.
Absolutely, it's Muslims. Their birth rate is higher than any other demographic group. Except for maybe homeschoolers. But yeah, Muslims. Now, that's why I tell you in the end, the world's going to come down and it's going to be a big war between the homeschoolers and the Muslims. I'm just kidding. Anyway, no, but this is the way it is. And I mean, the United States pumps billions of dollars into the United Nations for educating these African countries not to have any babies. You know, sterilize your women. Keep your birth rate down. Why? Do we think we're helping Africa? No, they're going to control them. Anyway, just remember, who's the God of this world? Who's the God of this world? No. Satan. Yeah. So when you crank up your grill today, before you eat, thank the Lord for the resources that you're burning, and we're all invited over to the Harder's house for a achievement day. Okay. All right. Listen, be careful. Be careful. Now, some of you, I know, are inundated with this on a daily basis. And can I warn you, please, about something? Some of you may be sitting there saying, I can't believe he's saying all this. I get used to it. I'm one of those guys that's going to, die off. It may take years before a Christian's anti-environmentalist streak entirely disappears. So listen, as long as I'm alive, it ain't dead. Now, what I was going to say is, those of you who are constantly bombarded with this, be careful. Be very careful. What did Hitler say? If you tell a lie loud enough and long enough, the people will believe it. You know, the Bible says that if it were possible, the elect, even the elect, would be deceived. Be careful. Be careful. Some of you work in environments where all you hear is this kind of stuff, and you hear their arguments for it, and you know what? You hear it long enough, loud enough, and you know what? It will have an effect, unless you are continually vigilant and careful to examine Scripture. And by the way, that's why Christianity is in the state it's in today, in general, because Christians don't know the Word of God. Joe.
Romans 12:2.
Right. Right. That's right. Okay. Well, let's pray. We'll let you have a break here between the services. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would protect us from error. Lord, may we be diligent to be in your word. Lord, that we might know truth. Thank you for giving us renewed minds, minds that are capable of understanding revealed truth. But Lord, may we be careful that we not accept that which comes from reprobate minds, which don't even work correctly because of your design. In Jesus' name, amen.